from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
To him again. He's got it. His three.
Have you ever seen anything like it?
Popping again. And again, his three. If you're wondering what the NBA record is for most points in a quarter, you just watched it. George Gervin at 33 and a quarter. And Klay Thompson has 50 and 37 in a quarter. Klay Thompson, I'm going to repeat that, 37 in a quarter.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Well, if that doesn't give you chills, I don't know what would. 37 points in one quarter. Klay Thompson all the way back on January 23rd, 2015. That, of course, was Fitz and JB. Bob Fitzgerald and Jim Barnett back in the day doing a great job, and that was Klay. 37 points in the third quarter against the Sacramento Kings. It was an NBA record at the time. It still is an NBA record. Most points ever scored by a single player in a single NBA quarter belongs to Klay Thompson. 37 points in the third quarter against the Kings way back in January of 2015. Welcome back to Willard and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. It's Mark Randy and Jason Dumas in for Mark Willard alongside Dan Dibley as always here on 95.7 The Game. And we're reacting to the news that Klay Thompson is leaving the Golden State Warriors and signing a 3-year, $50 million contract with the Dallas Mavericks. The trade is not officially official and finalized just yet because it is a three-team trade between the Warriors, the Mavericks, and the Hornets. The return to the Warriors is unknown and not locked down as of yet, but the deal itself is not in any jeopardy. Klay Thompson will be a Dallas Maverick in his 13-year run, the last 12 of which have been with the Big Three, Steph, Klay, and Draymond. That run is over, and we are reminiscing on Klay Thompson. If you have memories of Klay, things you remember, moments you remember, like that 37-point quarter, we want to hear from you. 888-957-9570. That's the number to call. It's also the Xfinity mobile text line. But guys, Dibs and Jason, I wanted to focus a little bit here on how we got to this point with Klay, where he was willing to turn down reportedly more money. from the Lakers, but also from the Warriors to play with the Dallas Mavericks. And Jason, I know you're very plugged in all this stuff, and we've talked about it a little bit already. I wanted to first hear from Anthony Slater, who was on the TK show, Tim Kawakami of The Athletic, part of our Odyssey family here as well, and Warriors insider Anthony Slater talking about how we got to this moment, why Clay felt the need to leave, despite potentially the Warriors offering him more money. Here's Anthony Slater.
It became clear that like the market didn't really matter. The money didn't necessarily matter. Like he was unhappy enough last season, and he was kind of jilted enough by management's lack of communication and lack of what I think his side felt was like a genuineness to their desire to have him as like a core member foundationally into the future. Not that they weren't willing to have a contract offer now or didn't have a contract offer, you know, obviously, you know, extension time in the preseason, but wasn't a lot of warmth to the way they operated with Klay Thompson.
And it's become relatively clear that that was what was most important to Clay. Maybe it wasn't, you know, $20+ million a year. Maybe it wasn't 3 years or 4 years, but it was just feeling that warmth and feeling loved and feeling supported and feeling respected. And whether the Warriors did so knowingly, they kind of pushed him away because he wasn't part of their plan A this offseason.
Yeah, you know, exactly. And like I said before, Klay Thompson is a prideful guy. And he wanted to feel that love. He wanted to feel appreciated. And he just simply didn't, you know? Whether that was Golden State's intention or not is kind of irrelevant at this point, especially to Clay. But he just didn't feel that love. And, you know, it just goes back to kind of the theme of the last couple of years where it was just like they're trying to find this happy medium of how they can please Clay and keep him happy while also making the best moves for the organization from a basketball standpoint. And that's a fine line. It was a fine line. It was hard to find that balance. And, you know, a lot of walking on eggshells, a lot of sugarcoating stuff. And it's interesting because Anthony Slater, who covers this team better than anybody, he used an interesting phrase. He said that there wasn't a genuineness to the negotiations from Clay's side, that he didn't feel like it was genuine and what they wanted. But when you look at the Warriors side, I mean, they'll probably tell you, like, we're trying to walk this fine line where we want to respect you and what you've accomplished, but we also have to do what's right for us. So how do you say that, really, to somebody, given all the history and context? Like,
there's no way to say that without upsetting Clay.
Exactly. So it was a lose-lose. Like, that's what I mean. Like, I mean, yeah, well, what kind of genuineness do you want, Clay? They could be straight up with you. You're still going to be pissed at that answer.
Right. Maybe right. It was outwardly, you know, at every opportunity, Steve Kerr and Mike Dunleavy and everyone said, yeah, of course we want Clay back. Desperately, exactly. We want Clay back. But then behind closed doors, like, no, we have no contract offer at all.
Exactly. Right.
So you desperately want him back, but you want him back at a number that is comfortable for what you're still trying to do. And you also want him back after you go through everything else, after you try to get Paul George or Lauri Markkanen or Brandon Ingram or whoever else you're trying to get. Yeah, Clay, if you wouldn't mind waiting until July 7th or 8th, of course we want you back. And if you're Clay and you turned down 2 years and $48 million back last October, and now the contract that you're getting from the Warriors, even if there was one, is maybe half of that, or, you know, the market's telling you that you're not $24 million a year anymore. The market told you that you were $15 to $17 or $18 million a year. And that hurts. And your own team is the one kind of telling you, yeah, we're going to go with the market on this one. And based on what we're trying to do, we're trying to get a big fish in here, Clay. And you're not that anymore.
So the question to me then becomes, as you were talking about, Jason, whether or not this is purposeful by the Warriors. Was this a miscalculation? Did they miscalculate Clay's feelings? Did they feel like it was legitimately going to be an option for them to go back to Clay and he was going to be waiting and willing to come back? Or was everything that they have done leading up to this, and I'm going all the way back to, you know, last offseason, offering only 2 years when you just gave Draymond 4 years, the offseason, that the same offseason, was it when Steve Kerr decided to bench Clay Thompson in the year Was this all part of the plan, knowing that it might be enough to push Clay away and this might be the end? Or did they miscalculate? Did they actually really want Clay back, assuming Paul George wasn't going to happen? And then they realized, uh-oh, our actions upset him enough that he doesn't want anything to do with us anymore. Was this a miscalculation, or was this something the Warriors felt like was probably going to happen anyway?
I'm not sure it was a miscalculation. I think as it pertains to the Paul George stuff, I think they just felt like they were comfortable with the risk reward scenario. They were comfortable with losing Clay for at a chance for Paul George. I think they
would rather take the chance of potentially not having both versus only signing Clay and not having a chance at all at Paul George.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, just kind of look how it went down. I think they're probably smart enough to know that, maybe not to this degree, but they were probably smart enough to know that Clay wouldn't love the fact that he wasn't priority number one for them this offseason. So I think they probably have enough wherewithal to know that, but they did it anyway. So that just tells us right now they probably thought it was worth it. And if we're just strictly talking basketball, it probably was worth it. Obviously, hindsight's 2020, and they struck out, so it's just the optics aren't great. But if they had a legit, if they thought they had a legitimate chance at Paul George, I think you have to go for it. I think he was probably one of like few players on the market who they could acquire that would actually move the needle. Clay, bringing Clay back, it would kind of just keep you where you are. And we saw where they were. I mean, they ended up, 10 seed? If Draymond doesn't get suspended and he plays a full season, they're probably closer to like a 6 seed. But still, they're probably not coming out the West.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, I mean, they want to win championships. So you got to take that chance.
I think the fallback of D'Anthony Melton on a one-year deal is probably more tenable for them than Klay Thompson for 3 years anyway. If you're looking at a fallback, put aside the fact that Klay is a splash brother and 13 years in the organization, all the rest of it, just the business part of it, to have D'Anthony Melton for 1 year, a guy who is, as Grandy and I were talking in the green room before the show, a better defender, better rebounder, not the same shooter, younger player, maybe the potential to be healthier and be as productive as Klay Thompson. Well, you don't have to do 3 years of Klay. You do 1 year for Melton. And I think from that standpoint, it becomes a more, manageable, and we talked a lot about optionality. That's their big word. Having 1 year of Melton is much more optional than having Klay Thompson for three more years.
100%. And look, I mean, I think Klay Thompson is a better player than D'Anthony Melton. Make no mistake about it. That's not the argument in Dibs. I don't think that's right. what you're saying. But yeah, I mean, they're looking at their future. Joe Lacob wanted to get under that tax line. That was important to him. If he wasn't going to be under that tax line, it wasn't going to be to overpay Klay Thompson. Like, that's not an opinion. Just look at how this played out and listen to everything he's told us over the last year and some change. It's played out exactly how he said. So that's what I'm basing this opinion on. Now, when it comes to D'Anthony Melton, here's one thing that I think, in my opinion, needs to be said. And everybody's saying, well, you offered Draymond 4 years, $100 million, and Klay only got two. I think I can objectively say, and I think both of you guys would agree with me, Draymond has been a better player than Klay Thompson the past 2 years. I think he got that deal because he's
certainly been this last year. Klay was pretty darn good leading into that postseason against the Kings and the Lakers. I mean, that January, February was like the best 2 month stretch of his career almost.
100%. 100%.
This most recent year, I agree 100%.
I don't know if it's overwhelming, but I think it's fair to say Draymond got that deal because he has been better. And you know what I mean? So, I don't even think it's egregious that Dre got 4 years and Klay got two. Now, I know
his contract was also just up first. Like, if Klay's contract is up first, maybe Klay signs and they make the same decision with Draymond. You never know.
Yeah, 100%. I just, the whole pitting Klay's contract against Klay's contract offer against the one Draymond signed, I think is a bit disingenuous. I do. I just think Draymond has been more important to their success from that point on when he signed that contract to now. That's probably why he was offered more. So, it's going to be interesting when we hear from guys like Draymond, when we hear from Klay in his introductory press conference.
Oh.
It's
going to be painful, right?
I don't think Klay is going to take any shots. I don't. I think he will have the wherewithal to not.
He hasn't shied away from calling people out on the podium before, though.
He definitely hasn't. This feels a little different, though. And unless he didn't have great conversations with Draymond, Steph, and Steve Kerr on the way out, which I would think all three of those guys who I just mentioned are mature enough to, no matter how kind of nasty it might have gotten between him and the front office, can be PC at the very least. I don't think he'll come out and say anything.
Yeah. We're going to hear a little bit more from Anthony Slater on the TK show coming up, talking about how we got to this moment with Klay, where he's willing to take less to leave the Golden State Warriors. But first, I wanted to let everyone know that all guests here on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? Again, all guests here on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, River Islands in Lathrop. All right, more Anthony Slater here on the TK show, part of the Odyssey family. That's Tim Kawakami's show, talking about why Klay got to this point, why he decided to walk away, and reportedly left a little bit of money on the table. Here's Slater.
One of the things that made me more sure he was leaving through this process was, I do think from the Warrior side, where they miscalculated was, Joe Lacob, really, the Lacobs. When they did this with the Andre Iguodala, the businessman Andre Iguodala, it was that like CEO versus, businessman type negotiations. And really with Draymond Green last time too, where it was leveraged plays and each side was kind of playing this game of chicken and, who would blink first, how much money could the player get out of the team, all that. I was told on the Klay side, like, that's not how he plays. Once you make your leverage play and hardball him, he just says bye. And I know even when I put out the story that, like, hey, this is going in a really bad direction, I think people were like, oh, this is Klay trying to make the Warriors up their offer. And it was like, no, like, he's just decided it's over. Yeah. He's not trying to play this game. He's looking for a new home. And, the truth is, two steps back, I think we can both understand why the Warriors would not want to pay him a certain amount of money and prioritize other stuff. But it snowballed to this moment where Klay Thompson is just walking away.
That's why I ask if this was a miscalculation by the Warriors. And maybe you think that he's just not a fit on this team, not good enough on this team anymore, and then the Warriors won't really miss him on the basketball court itself. And I think you can make that case and you can be fair, but the way Slater lays it out, they were trying to play hardball with him as if they wanted still to have him back, but they just maybe didn't quite understand how he'd react emotionally. And he reacted differently than Iguodala reacted, than Draymond reacted. They were both willing to play ball. And like, No. Don't lowball me. We're going to fight and negotiate and work this out. They lowball Klay, and then Klay's like, okay, deuces. I'll see you later.
Well, I think that they probably knew how he'd react, and he obviously didn't react so negatively that he didn't agree to a sign and trade, because if it is a sign and trade, which is what everyone's reporting, then that at least shows some sense of Klay saying...
Helps him get a little bit more money, though.
Exactly, but it also helps the team be able to get, what they want in return, because he could have gone to the Lakers and signed a four-year deal and gotten, close to the same money that he got in Dallas, but he chose to, do the organization a solid and at least let them do a sign and trade. So I think the organization knew what they were doing. And look, if you miss on Paul George and you miss on any other big trade in the offseason, you're kind of resigned to the reality of what you're going to do, which is it's going to be a year of, man, I hope Kuminga gets better, and I hope Pods gets better, and I hope our young guys get better, and then maybe we can, with a healthy Draymond, maybe we can be a sixth seed and, go on a run. I think without a big swing in free agency and without a big swing in the trade market, you are resigned to basically what you are, which is a team that's not good enough right now.
Yeah, with the roster as currently constructed, and we're assuming there's no more big moves to be made. Hopefully there is, for the Warriors' sake, but as currently constructed, you're really relying on Pajemski, Moody, and Kuminga taking right. that next step. We kind of know what Wiggins is at this point. Obviously, we know what Steph is, still a really good player. Draymond, like, those are known commodities. It's Pajemski, Moody, Trayce Jackson-Davis, too, to a smaller degree. And Moody and Pajemski and Kuminga. Those are the three probably on the roster who have the most upside right now. You know, who can improve the most. Everybody else is pretty known.
But I find it hard to believe that the Warriors at this point, after missing out on Paul George, that they would not be interested in bringing Klay back. Pretty obvious they still want him on their team. I mean, you look at their roster right now, and there's a ton of time for them to make other moves, and we can get into that in a little bit. The spacing on the offensive end of the floor is going to be absolutely atrocious. There's going to be no space for Steph to get off a shot, very little, and there's going to be very little room for, say, Kuminga to drive and slosh to the hoop because you got no shooters other than Steph that defenses have to respect. That's what, even when Klay wasn't maybe hitting at a 42% clip
from deep.
He still
had gravity.
Exactly. Maybe not to the extent that Steph did, but while he's shooting, maybe he's in a game where he's 2 for 8. Klay is from downtown. It's not as if defenders are sagging off of Klay. They're still hovering out him a deep 3-point line, opening everything else up inside. So there's no doubt in my mind the Warriors still actually desperately wanted him back. And while I think maybe it was a bit of a miscalculation, because they made a couple of bets. They bet, one, that they had a legit chance to get Paul George, and it was legit. It seemed like it was pretty close.
Right.
Ultimately, did not work. They missed on that bet. They bet that the market for Klay wasn't going to be as strong as Klay thought. They were right on that one.
They were right.
And then their third bet was they could go back to Klay after they missed on Paul George and he'd be waiting for them.
And he said he was not waiting for them. He said nope. Like,
it's July 1st and he already is a Dallas Maverick. So,
yeah, he didn't have to rush.
Like 20 hours into free agency.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but according to Anthony Slater's reporting, which is A1 all the time, he stepped away from this a couple days ago. He knew it. He said, I'm done. I'm not playing this game with you guys.
I mean, they had reportedly said their goodbyes to some members of the front office a couple of days ago.
Yeah, there you have it. There you have it. So that begs the question that I bring to both of y'all. I'm not asking you guys if you think Klay has a right to do this. Of course, Klay can do whatever he wants. It's his life, his prerogative. He knows how he feels better than anybody. My question is, do you think Klay was right for doing that? Do you think the Warriors deserved more of a chance to circle back towards him, given their history? Because what Anthony said was that they were surprised that he was so like, no, this is it. Like, that one offer you give me, I'm done. They're not going back and forth with you guys. I'm just going to go see what else is out there. Do you think, like, the Warriors deserve? Because as much as Klay did for the Warriors,
right?
Don't get me wrong, I think the Warriors did pretty well by him, too, over the last 13 years. They put him in positions to succeed. They supported him through two major injuries. And he's going to have a statue. Like, I don't think they treated him poorly by any means. Maybe Klay might have disagreed over the last 3 years. But my long-winded question is, do you think the Warriors deserved a little better from Klay's side?
Yeah, I don't think so. Because, I mean, it's just EPMD, strictly business. And you get to that point where...
That's fair. That's fair.
You know, they offered him 2 and 48 back in October, and he said no. And then the market now is not 2 and 48 for Klay, and it's not 3 and 72. The market is 3 and 50. And so if the Warriors came back lower than that, that's just the business, and they're trying to get below that second apron. And now they're going to be, as Mark said, they're going to be hard capped at the first apron. So Joe Lacob told us months ago that job one was get out of this financial turmoil, and they're doing that. So I don't think that they owed Klay anything. And if Klay, you know, gets into the process and he doesn't want to play the back and forth game, he doesn't owe them anything. And really, they only paid him for 1 year of rehab. That second year was just a bad break. And the fact that it's a, you know, guaranteed contract, if he was an NFL player, they would have cut him after the first one. They probably wouldn't have even given him the first contract coming off an ACL. But in the NBA, he had the ACL, and you figured, oh, he'll be fine. It's 9 months, the ACL, 6 to 9 months. He'll be back, and then the Achilles happened. And so that's just bad. That's a bad break for the Golden State Warriors to have that happen. But I don't think that he owes them anything, and they don't owe him a sweetheart contract either. It's just the way that this one played out.
Yeah, I think the way I'll put it is, you look at the Warriors situation entering this offseason, I don't really know what other option they had to deal with Klay other than the way that they did. But it's kind of like the perfect storm. The type of person Klay is, you're talking about his emotions. He's an emotional person, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. It's part of the reason why we love Klay, because he's so steadfast in his love for the game and how good he wants to be. It's part of what makes Klay Klay. But considering the situation they found themselves in, up against, you know, luxury tax and salary cap hell, I don't know how else you go about it. But as I put myself in Klay's shoes, I can also understand him being really pissed off. Klay gets, or Draymond gets, 4 years and $100 million. You're going to look at me in the face and only offer me two, and then play out a whole season where, okay, maybe I wasn't great, but it's not like I was a detriment to the team every single night. And you're not even going to offer me anything at that point until you swing and miss with somebody else who hasn't ever won anything in the postseason, and now you're going to come over to me and try to lowball me again? Like, if I'm Klay, I can totally understand his frustration and why maybe he feels like emotionally, mentally, it's best for him to just get the hell out of here. But I can also see from the Warriors side, maybe put aside the decisions that got them into this mess, but once they got into this mess entering this offseason, I don't really know what else they could have done.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it just reminds us this is a business. The Warriors felt like they did what is best for them, and Klay feels like he did what is best for him. And, you know, if he felt like he should have got a contract offer online with Draymond, I disagree. But that's his prerogative. He can feel however he feels. And, you know, now he goes to Dallas, and it'll be interesting to see that fit on the court, Klay and the Mavericks. I personally don't love it.
Oh, I don't either.
Which I feel like we're in the minority. A lot of people
are thinking, a lot of
people love the matchup. I love the fit.
No one other than Luka and Kyrie could score in the finals. They need someone else to sit out there and hit a couple of shots.
Right, sit out there. You're asking him to just sit out there, because Luka Doncic, as much as he is a good...
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Passer? He's not a willing passer. And, you know, Kyrie Irving, I think you're dealing with two really ball-dominant players, and Clay is used to being in an offense where it's ball movement, it's player movement, you get things called for you. I don't think that they're going to see him as anything other than a third option. I think Clay is going to get relegated into J.J. Redick and Kyle Korver mode.
Yeah, we'll see. We can talk a little bit more about that on the other side. Got to hit a quick break. When we come back, more on Clay, your favorite memories. Lucky and Zach, I see you guys on hold. We'll get to you coming up in just a little bit. 888-957-9570. More coming up on the other side. It's Willard and Dibs, Mark Randy, Jason Dumas, alongside Dan Dibley. More next on 95.7 The Game.
Doubles with a dribble, almost falls down. Stripped by Andre and stolen. Iguodala to Thompson. Right side three for the lead. Got it! Golden State leads with a minute 35 to go. It's 104-101. Clay Thompson has 11 threes in the game.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Do you remember where you were? I know Jason Dumas does. Game 6, Clay was born. May 28th, 2016. Clay Thompson wills the Warriors to a Game 7 in the Western Conference Finals and keeps alive their hopes of turning a 73-win regular season into a championship. We know what happened a couple of weeks later, but in that moment, one of the biggest individual performances in Warriors franchise history. Game 6, Clay against Oklahoma City on the road, May 28th, 2016. What a moment that was. And welcome back to Willard and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Willard out this week. It's Dan Dibley, Jason Dumas, and Mark Randy with you. Dibs, that moment, Game 6, Clay, just incredible shot after incredible shot, and the Warriors needed every single one of them. For whatever reason, after the Warriors were the best team in the regular season by a mile, OKC, Kevin Durant, and Russell Westbrook, and everyone else on that team at that moment, Serge Ibaka, they had the Warriors' number, and it was an uphill battle every single one of those games in OKC, and it took a heroic effort from Clay to get them to the finish line, and they ultimately win the series
and
after Game 7.
The thing about that, guys, is that normally when you have a heroic performance, it leads to a championship, but this is one of the few that actually didn't lead to a championship, and it's okay. Like, Game 6 Clay is still a thing, man, because it happened. He had 41 points in a game that they had to have, and they went on to win that series, but they didn't win the championship, and yet it doesn't diminish the fact that he did what he did, and that game still lives on. And if you ask people throughout the course of their four titles, that game from Clay, Game 6 Clay, ranks up there. And yeah, you won the game, but you lost the series. So even though...
The next series.
Right, but you lost the next series. So it wasn't like, oh, you know, because of Clay's Game 6, you went on to win the title and everything was great. You went on to lose the NBA title. Yet it doesn't matter because that game was so transcendent.
I know Jason already shared where he was for that game. You were with your family, right? Mm-hmm. Parents out of
Washington, D.C.
Did you remember where you were?
Yeah, I was home with the family, with the ex-wife and my two kids down there in Oakland. And so that was a time when I went to every home game. I used to live about 4 miles away from the old Oracle Arena. And my routine was, you know, the kids went down for the bed at about 8. So we'd do dinner at about 6:30, 6:45. And then I would leave the house usually about 7:10 and zip right down 73rd and get to the old Oracle Arena, the old Oracle Arena. In like 12 minutes, park, boom, pop up to my media seat. And that was kind of my routine. I went to 30, 35 home games that year because I could. And, you know, I lived so close that you did dinner and then you did the whole thing. So I was deeply invested in those games. And that was a series where, I mean, I couldn't believe they were going to lose to OKC. Yeah, good team.
Do you remember games 3 and 4 in OKC? The game was over at halftime both those games.
And I mean, I had a terrible feeling because they won 73 games that year. Yeah. And it's like, you know, coming off a title and now you're 73-9. And I remember the start of that year when it was Luke Walton and, you know, Steve was out with the spinal issue. And it's like, it doesn't even matter. I could coach this team.
Well, they won like what? The first 24?
Yeah. 24-0. Yeah.
So good. And might I add you, like, so obviously we talked about game 6, Clay against Oklahoma City, which, you know, just one of the best performances in NBA history, especially in an elimination game and the pressure packed moment that night was. But I'm almost going to go off on a limb and say in 2019, Clay, for about 2 series, even up to when he tore his ACL, it felt like he was their best player. It really did. Now, overall context, Steph is their best player, obviously. Steph creates so much attention that, you know, he gives other people a chance to really take a harness and put themselves in the forefront. That's what happened for a couple of years with KD, especially during some of those playoff runs. But that series against Toronto, from what I remember, I have to look at the numbers before I really go out on a limb, but just remembering it, it felt like Clay was playing the best on the team.
What made the ACL tear late in the third quarter in game 6 was that he was the reason they were in that game.
Taking it to the rim, hitting jump shots. Like,
KD was already hurt. He had just torn his Achilles. Mm-hmm. Steph was Steph, but it's not like he was hitting everything he was taking. Clay was the best player, at least offensively, for the Warriors in that game. And when he got hurt, it wasn't just, oh my God, we're probably going to lose this game now because you don't have Clay. But it was, Clay is reaching a different level. Now we're going to be without him for a whole season.
Absolutely. At that moment, it felt like, you know, from the series, right? What was it? Portland they played before the Raptors?
Yep.
Yeah, it was Portland.
When they swept them,
it was like a little cute little run for Portland.
Without KD.
Yeah,
the Warriors. Steph missed a couple of games.
Yeah, they swept them. Like the Warriors just took their belts off and reminded Portland that there's levels.
We run this conference.
From that Portland series through the Raptors series, it really felt like Klay Thompson was the premier two-way basketball player in the world.
Yep. He was incredible. And we're reminiscing because we don't have any more of that time. Klay with the Golden State Warriors, it's all over. He has signed, well, not officially just yet, but he intends to sign a 3-year, $50 million contract with the Dallas Mavericks. And we are reminiscing. We're sharing our emotions, our memories of Klay, and we want to hear from you guys as well. 888-957-9570. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Up next is Lucky in San Francisco. Lucky, how you feeling about Klay to the Mavericks?
No, man, I'm sick, man. I'm depressed, man. I even tweeted Bunta and told him that, man. This is like a, you know, like you having a 13-year marriage. Fellas, you guys can understand that. And your wife leaves you, and she tells you it's because you weren't genuine. Why is that? Because you didn't show her that you loved her. So are you going to just let her walk to somebody else? Or are you going to try to maybe give a last-minute pitch and show them that you love him so that he can finish his career as a Warrior, as he should, man? This is disrespectful, man, by Dunleavy and whoever else is running this, man. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I get that. And, you know, I like your marriage analogy. It hits a little too close to home. Jason's on his way to the altar. Grandy's probably a little bit further away from that. But I know that when my first marriage ended, and it was 23 years, it was a great run, not unlike Klay and the Warriors, but it wasn't like all of a sudden, one day, overnight, boom, it's over. It's a progression to this. And Jason, you mentioned it before about the last three years of Klay and the Warriors. It feels like we've been creeping toward this point over the time, over his, you know, his disrespect, what he's feeling, him coming off the bench, him shot hunting and all the rest of it. And you get to a point where now he has a chance to be a free agent, and the offer that the Warriors either give or don't give is not quite what he wants. And so it becomes over. I don't know if you can look at Dunleavy and say, you did this, or Lacob, you did this, or Kerr, or anybody. I think it just was a natural progression of the relationship.
What if there was actual disrespect, though? And I guess, Jason, this is where your expertise could come in, because we got lucky here, and, you know, not everyone is plugged in and knows the inner workings of the organization, but claiming disrespect, and as Dibs was talking about, blaming Dunleavy, blaming Lacob, blaming the decision makers. Is this a case, Jason, of Klay maybe being a little emotional too emotional for his own good? Or is this legitimate disrespect the Warriors organization is paying Klay Thompson?
It's a hard question to answer, because who am I to say what is legitimate disrespect? I can't put myself in Klay's mind. If he tells me he feels disrespected for something, I could disagree with it, but it doesn't matter what I feel. It really only matters what Klay Thompson feels. But on the same token, you got to understand that it's a business. Like, I personally wouldn't feel disrespected if my employer checked in with Stephen A. Smith to see his availability, because Kron was like, Stephen A. is available. Objectively, Stephen A. would make more for Kron than Jason Dumas was, probably. You know?
It's a good third person right there.
you know what I mean? Like, that's where self-awareness comes in. So, Klay, before they got to you, they checked in on a top like 12 player in basketball, someone who I think only like four people hit more three pointers than, someone who is like can score 25 points a night pretty consistently, someone who is probably right at the prime of his career. He might be coming down, but he still has years left where he can probably be an elite player. It's pretty, there's not really any argument that tells you have been better than him at basketball over the last 3 years. So I wouldn't take that super personally. In fact, I would maybe, I mean, like, you would hope Klay could even, like I said, this gets to the point where you're like counting people's pockets and what he should take. I don't like doing that.
Right.
But, you know, in an ideal world, Klay could even be like, get Paul George, circle back to me. We'll see what we can do. Maybe we can all make this work. I'll come back. Paul George, come back. I'm not a numbers guy. I don't know the finances and if that's even possible. But I would be thinking from that point of view, because at the end of the day, it's not like the Warriors didn't want him back. They weren't like, we're done. It's over. Like, we do want you back. We gotta see what else is out there, though, too. Because we, at the end of the day, we're trying to be the best basketball team we can be. If we came straight to you and gave us no shot at getting Paul George when we have an idea that it could happen, that wouldn't be good business either.
So do you think it's on, and this is for both you guys, do you think it's on Klay to understand the basketball side of it and why the Warriors would be interested in exploring other options? Is it on Klay to understand that and be like, hey, like, sorry, but we got to try something else. This isn't working right now. Maybe we'll get back to you later. Or is it on the Warriors to, and I know everyone hates this term, and maybe this isn't even the right term, but to be willing to hand out a thank you contract and say, Klay, you're a franchise legend. We don't win any of these championships without you. You are one of the three, four, maybe best Warriors of all freaking time. You and Steph and Dre are the reason we got this fancy new arena in Chase Center. The other two are going to be here for at least the next 2 years. You're not even offering me anything. Is there any reason to believe that Klay, I mean, we could, as you said, anyone can feel any way they want, but I feel like there's a pretty easy path for most of us to be in that situation and feel disrespected.
Well, it's not about disrespect for me. It's about the reality of the situation. And Klay knows full well that the Warriors have to get better. between being a 10 seed and getting back to where they want to get. And getting better does not only include bringing back Klay Thompson. Like, Klay understands that they needed to be better last year. They need to be better this year. So if Klay steps outside of his own reality, and I would imagine that he does because he's very smart and he's circumspect and he's been in the league for 13 years, and you look at your roster and you realize, well, Denver's better, OKC's better, Minnesota's better, heck, Phoenix was better, and we couldn't beat the Lakers 2 years ago. So we all know we need to get better. And if Klay can see that, he knows that the pursuit of Paul George, first and foremost, would be a long way for them to, quote, get better. So Klay, honestly, if he steps out of the ego part of it, he understands what the Warriors are trying to do. And the thing about a thank you contract, you can't do that in the NBA, especially when you're trying to get below that second apron. And Joe Lacob made it very clear that that is goal number one. So if you're Klay, you're looking at the fact that you're not priority number one. Paul George is, and you're going to have to sit there and wait for the Warriors to come back to you, and you don't want to do that. Well, then the decision's been made for you. Yeah. I mean, that's the way I would look at it, honestly.
Yeah, I think Klay, probably first and foremost, Klay just understood he didn't like what his role would probably be with the Warriors anyway. So that, I mean, before we even get into the disrespect and the semantics, he realized that he would be probably coming back to the Warriors in a bench role. He would not start. Pajemski's going to start, and Steph Curry's going to start. And then a combo of either Wiggins or Kuminga, and then Dre and Trayce Jackson-Davis at the 4 and 5. Klay, there was not a starting spot for Klay. So that right there is something that Klay probably was not interested in. I don't know that for a fact, but I know he wasn't interested in it the past 3 years. He didn't love the idea. Finally, it happened. That wasn't a decision Steve Kerr came up to overnight. That was something they were trying to ease their way in for a bit. It finally happens. He wasn't that happy. So he probably knew that. Just like, that's the foundation right there. All right, if I do come back to the Warriors, even if they pay me a quote unquote, like you said, a thank you contract. Even if they pay me a thank you contract, I still believe I'm of this ilk, but they are going to bring me off the bench. And that's not something I love. So that right there was probably part of his decision. And then when it came to just the semantics, we want to call it, I wasn't the first priority. I don't think it was respectful, the manner in which you guys approached me and how these contract talks have played out. I think I was deserving of a little more respect based on everything we've been through. Once you added in that on top of the fact that he probably wouldn't even be starting, that's why I think he was probably just, it was easy for him to move on.
Right.
Reportedly, the words he used is best for both parties. He probably knows the way he is and how prideful he is that he wouldn't operate to the best of his abilities coming back, knowing how it all played out and knowing he would be on the bench, knowing Brandon Pajemski is the new starting off wing guard for the Warriors. He's probably like, you know what? I don't even want to deal with that. That is probably the truth. Now, we're going to get semantics. We're going to say he say, she say. But based on everything that's happened, that was probably the root of all of this. He just did not like his role. And all the other stuff probably played a factor. Don't get me wrong. But the root of it was probably like, I'm not even going to be in the position I want to be in and have the role that I want. And all that other stuff happened. Why even bother?
And probably easier to come off the bench for Dallas. I'm not saying that he will. But if he does, it's easier to go somewhere else and be a bench player than it is to come back to your own team and be a bench player.
Absolutely. Because of all the history and everything that's happened. You go to a new environment and it's like if he had gone to the Lakers, who knows if he would have started. I mean, they have Austin Reeves, who essentially does what Klay does. He's not the shooter that Klay is, but He's every bit as much the player overall, probably. Yeah. I mean, Austin Reeves kind of struggled in spurts last year, but so did Klay. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So did Klay. And that was, as it pertains to his play, that was my issue with Klay Thompson. I wouldn't say he had a bad year this past season or the year before. I just don't think he has the consistency enough. Like, when he was bad, he's bad.
He's never been a terribly consistent player, though. He's always been streaky.
He's been streaky, yeah. But now it's like,
The bad streaks were a little longer.
A little worse, and the good streaks weren't even probably as that great. Like you said,
to
your
point.
The bad
games are now outweighing the good games.
And look, his streakiness has not come at great times. Now, obviously, if you're hot, like for you said, in 2023, going into that postseason, almost the best heater of his career.
Yeah.
But then that streakiness wore off. He wasn't good against the Kings. He was not terrible against the Lakers.
Yeah.
Is that, I mean, this year, what happened against, he was over 10 against the Kings. Like,
yeah.
He hasn't even been on the heaters in the time where they really even needed it. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you got to be a little more consistent.
And to go on everything you guys were talking about, his role here, and I know there was a report either last week or 2 weeks ago that the Warriors, even if Klay was back, were considering Pajemski as their starting guard. There's another report that just came out, according to Yahoo Sports' Jake Fisher. He's reporting the same thing. Even if Klay had returned, he would not be starting. So it almost seems like when we combine everything into it, first of all, Klay's play, what the Warriors had kind of envisioned for him, the rise of Pajemski, Klay's emotions and how he takes everything the Warriors had done as disrespect, whether or not that's fair or not, it's for you to determine for yourself. I can understand both sides. All of it, though, together, guys, just kind of feels like the perfect storm that led to Klay leaving. Whether or not you take one side or the other, or you think they share blame, whatever the case is, just everything together, and it's pretty simple. It seems like the only solution was for him to leave.
Yes, and when you talk about blame, and I do want to hear from the callers coming up, and I know we have full lines at 888-957-9570. When we talk about blame, I think that it ultimately will fall on the front office unless something happens between now and the summit next Monday when all six of us sit down. Because right now, if it's just Paul out, Thompson out, and D'Anthony Melton in, and I know they brought in a couple.
You got a Melton fan, Dibs?
I'm not yet ready to commit on my love for the Melt. I like the deli, the Melt. But as far as the Melton.
Tuna Melt, pretty good.
Underrated, yeah, the Melt. But I just don't know if that can play among Warrior fans to lose a legend, whatever, CP3, here for a year. But the fact that you lost Jordan Poole, you got nothing in return, and Klay walks, and you get D'Anthony Melton as the big replacement, it's going to be a tough sell.
100%. I mean, and it's unfair to even say that D'Anthony Melton is the Klay replacement. I don't even think we should put that on him. He's just a guy they use with their mid-level exception.
Quality player.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I always saw a couple years ago when he was playing for the Grizzlies and the Grizzlies let him go, I thought they let the wrong guy go. I think the Grizzlies should have let Dylan Brooks go instead of D'Anthony Melton. I thought he was a little better than Brooks. He had back issues last year for the Sixers, but before those back issues came about, he was pretty good. D'Anthony Melton's a pretty good player. He's not Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson is a better player than D'Anthony Melton. But if he's healthy, I think he will be a positive depth addition. And, you know, he's a vet at this point. He can help Pajemski and Moody. And Moody's really the guy who I think can step up.
Yeah. Yeah, well, put it this way. If D'Anthony Melton is the Warriors' biggest acquisition of the offseason, things will be looking a little bare for the Warriors come the regular season. All right, time for a break. When we come back, we'll get into this more. Want to throw back to something Ramona told Willard and Dibs a couple of months ago about Klay and gives some insight into Klay's feelings. We can get into that. Also, Ray, I see you. Steve, Mike, and John, we're coming to you on the other side. Also, a reminder, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop, and we are presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. It's Dibs, Dumas, and Grandy with you on Willard and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.